I did want to actually talk about the issues of testing and our response to coronavirus across the state. We've had sustained high levels of testing. You alluded to, before we went on air, that there may be challenging bottlenecks that have confronted our testing regime, say at Lakeview Hospital or locally in general. Could you speak a little bit to what you do know about that? What could be challenges as going forward?
I think that everywhere around the United States, around Minnesota, and certainly it affects Lake County as well, there are a lot of moving parts to this testing. We want to test everyone if possible, but there's always limiting factors. For example, sometimes it's difficult to get enough of the swab test kits that are needed. Sometimes it's difficult to get the reagents or solutions. And then we send them to testing labs to determine the results. And as more people are getting tested, those labs sometimes get backed up. And so at some times we're getting results in a day or two or three, and at times it takes 5 to 7 days, and we all know that by that time it's a little late to be getting your tests. So I know the state is working on that, as is everyone around the country, and it just changes day to day. So that it is a challenge for us, and some people think that we won't be able to confine this or slow the spread of this until we can increase that ability to test. So that's one of the reasons that we're trying to slow the spread through other methods like the mask wearing.
A difficult one for you to comment on perhaps would be, is the situation as tricky everywhere you go in the state? Or people always want to know, is there equity in the distribution and deployment of the resources, or is somebody getting their tests done more efficiently somewhere else and we're just not squeaking loud enough to get the resources? Are you aware of whether this is more or less across the board throughout all the 87 counties in Minnesota, the testing issue?
Well, I know that the state is working to respond fastest and best to higher population centers and especially where there are outbreaks. So they do pull some tests from some places if there are outbreaks in others to respond to those more quickly. And I think that's reasonable and fair. I'm certainly not the person who decides that, but I think they do have to be nimble. As we know, if there's an outbreak in a facility, then we send our people and our resources to that place to try to confine that outbreak. And that might sound like it's unfair to the places who don't have an outbreak, but I think we all benefit by that strategy.
I'm concerned because I know that, as we just talked about, that change is critical to be able to respond to. And should there be, you know, in a county with only 14 confirmed cases to date, such as Lake County, for us to get 10 new cases would be quite an upsurge. And I just would hate to see us missing that because we've relaxed, relented, and you know, deployed resources to where they're having dozens and dozens of cases a day. It just seems like we need to be able to respond as promptly here as they are anywhere else. So I guess it's a tough call.
It is, but I'm not too concerned about the fact about the chance that they would not respond to us, because I know that we're in close contact with MDH and the Arrowhead EMS Association and the Northeastern Healthcare Preparedness Coalition. All those folks are in touch with MDH daily, and they understand that we have a small population, and if we have a low number of cases, that's actually the best time to respond is when you have a small outbreak in a small population. So I don't think they would be ignoring that in Lake County. I'm pretty confident that they would be responsive to us if we had an outbreak.
Well, we can pose that to our local Lakeview Hospital CEO about how prepared Mr. Ruberg feels going forward, whether, you know, they've been in a better position than they are right now. I'd be very interested in knowing that, because it seems that we'll be doing testing right through 2020 and into 2021, and it has from the beginning been a challenge to see whether we could consistently and equitably deploy our ability to test in this very sophisticated healthcare system that the U.S. is reputed to have. And so it's interesting that 5 months into this, we are still talking about whether our tests can be adequate such that we can do the contact tracing, you know, that builds on what the test data is providing.
I think that's a challenge everywhere around the entire nation, and I know that our medical professionals have said that people who are symptomatic or have been exposed, they should certainly contact their healthcare provider, or even better, there's an MDH, Minnesota Department of Health, screening tool online for free. It's called Should I Get Tested? And you can just go to the Minnesota COVID dashboard, and there's a link there. You can also call the Minnesota COVID helpline, and you can contact St. Luke's. They have a hotline, and Essentia Health also has a hotline. So all of those places are providing tests to those who have a reason, think they're symptomatic or maybe have been at risk of exposure or have been to a mass gathering or are a first responder. All those people can get tested. You just need to go through the questionnaire and see what your risk is.
There you go. And that's my battery of tests questions for you, PJ. We'll leave that at that. That was a good point that you've made there, that everybody needs to take some responsibility for making sure they get tested when the need arises. We do have other challenges going forward. I think you were telling me before we went on the air that you heard an interesting perspective on how the U.S. has fared so far in this pandemic. Would you share those statistics or figures that you were thinking about earlier today, that our number of cases and deaths in this very well-off first world nation?
Yeah, we were just discussing, the Commissioner Dan Malcolm from the Minnesota Department of Health shared the statistics that while the United States has only 5% of the world's population, we currently are representing 25% of the COVID cases in the world and 22% of the deaths. So as a civilized nation and a democracy, that's a little surprising. It does make us proud of the way that we've handled COVID in the United States, and we've been trying to learn lessons from ways that other countries have helped mitigate their cases. So that's a little bit above my pay grade.
Yeah.
In the U.S. But, you know, we're working on trying to keep Lake County safe, but it is something that it's kind of an eye-opener and good to be aware of.
It's humbling, and this may shift fast because certain countries like Brazil are on gigantic upswings, and they have huge populations, huge problems of poverty and inequality themselves. So this could get much worse in other places before it gets better there, and certainly we have been challenged from the early days, from late March on. So I have been talking to you virtually every 2 weeks in that period, and I'm very grateful to have had your pragmatic words of raising awareness of where we stand and what we can do in our locality, BJ. It's been very appreciative of your willingness to come on and speak.
Well, we appreciate you helping us get the word out to our public. We want to be as transparent as we can and keep people informed and hopefully encouraged about this.
Yeah, I bring all this up by way of letting folks out there in public know that, BJ, you've got some other plans personally to move on from your position with Lake County, from the emergency management position that you hold. And are we now in your last month on the job?
It's pretty close.
Yeah.
Been planning a retirement on August 31st. That's been planned and announced to our board for about a year, so I do want to make clear that it's a retirement, not a resignation for any other reason based upon COVID or the position or Lake County. And some people are saying, well, how can you leave in the middle of this COVID crisis? But it's going to be a long crisis, and we worked for months together as a good team. We have good plans in place, and we have a very helpful, I think, public and compliant public who's helping us follow through on our plans, and so I think the transition will be smooth.
Are you aware of whether the county has already done an advertising and recruitment process, whether a successor is in mind at all, or whether we'll find that out in the month of August? Any updates on that?
Yeah, as I mentioned, the county's had posted the position in June, and I know that they are working to fill that, and the hope is to have someone in place before I leave so that there can be a little overlap for training. And as I mentioned, we've been working with a team together for a long time. So I'm just waiting to hear what the situation is. I know that the process is going well.
I bring it up because I figure acknowledging that a pandemic is not the typical time when a job transition is happening for an emergency manager, it might be nice for you to be able to have time to acquaint your successor with the work you've done to set them up to be successful. Because I really don't think that the way you're departing is dropping anyone into a pandemic response unprepared. You've set things in motion, and now it's just a matter of having a smooth transition, I would think.
Yeah, and actually, in a way, it's a little easier for an emergency manager to leave in this kind of situation because we have so many good public health partners in this instance. If it were a fire or a flood or a tornado or
yes,
even a fiber optic failure or something like that, I would have a little more on my shoulders. But in this case, we just have a really good team responding, and actually the public health folks are the lead responders in this instance rather than emergency management. My job in this case is just to help coordinate and make things go smoothly.
Yeah, a lot of introductions perhaps could be made to all these different stakeholders and partners that you've got. And I'm hoping that you leave feeling satisfied, not by the state of affairs as you leave, but by the fact that you did your very best. I sure got that impression, BJ. And I'm just wondering, are you going to move on to state of retirement or new job challenges?
But people ask what I have planned, and I tell them I don't have anything planned for at least a year.
Okay. That's the class.
I hope to stay involved in a volunteer kind of way, as most of our citizens volunteer to help out in some way. So I do plan to do that, but I'm looking forward to just taking a break and seeing how the flow goes.
Sorry to get personal, but you're going to be hanging around the area, I hope. We would hate to lose you.
We are, yeah. My husband John and I have lived here for many years, and we look forward to enjoying Lake County as long as we can.
Fantastic. Well, if we do talk in August, I'll try to keep it concise and focused on any breaking events that happen, BJ. Otherwise, I'm going to say I have enjoyed these opportunities to talk together very much, and I'm going to wish you all the success in finding new horizons. And I like your idea that you don't make any definitive decisions on what the next big adventure is without drawing some few breaths and taking stock of life. I wish you well with that phase of your journey.
Thank you, Leo. I appreciate that a great deal. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah. All right. You take care, BJ. Thanks for visiting with us today.
Thanks very much, Leo. You too. Bye-bye.
Yeah, take care. BJ Kolstad, who is the Lake County Emergency Manager, and we've been speaking since early March with BJ a couple times a month about the unfolding pandemic and our community response to it up here in the Northland. You're listening to KTWH 99.5 FM, ktwh.org.